reading this second Sunday of Christmas is from Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, gather together a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolation I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the coastlines far away. He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from the hand too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall a young woman rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into dancing. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people will be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 147. We shall read this together. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest meat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his call? He sends out his word and no one tells him. He makes his wind blow and waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt with us with any imagination. They shall not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord.
Our second lesson today is taken from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasures that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fulfillment of time, to gather up all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward the redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. Here are the lessons.
Thank you.
was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he will come after me. He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated, and I'd love to invite your children to come forward to hear the Lord's message. Look up at those stars and remember that God is saying, someone pretty important.
lunch. You can head back to your seats now. Trying not to cough with my microphone pack on, so we'll see if I can play the microphone bingo throughout the rest of service. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, as we have come through this season of Christmas and now enter into the season of Epiphany, we know that it is when we are showing up in our lives, and we pray that we would be able to show your light to the rest of the world. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I kind of buried the lead there, but anybody know what tomorrow is?
Epiphany.
Yes, tomorrow is the day of Epiphany. And this is the day in our church year when we celebrate the wise men showing up, the magi showing up to visit Jesus. And just in case you weren't aware of this, tomorrow, the 6th of January, happens exactly how many days after Christmas? 12! It's where we get the 12 days of Christmas. Yes. See, there's actually like a rhyme and a reason to the, you know, partridge in a pear tree. But yes, it's the season of Christmas lasts for 12 days. And in fact, we don't do it as much, but it happens in other parts of the country or other parts of the world, is that there's more of a celebration on Epiphany. The Eastern churches, like more of the Orthodox churches, Epiphany is when they have their big celebration and when they share gifts. Because that's when the wise men showed up and shared gifts with Jesus. Like that first giving of gifts. And often, we don't have it as much, again, in our culture, in our American culture, but there is often a big celebration, an Epiphany celebration, a 12th night celebration. Any of you heard of Shakespeare's play, Twelfth Night? That was written as an Epiphany play. And they would have wassail and probably fruitcake and I don't know, all the stuff that we normally do. But it's a celebration of these magi, these wise men showing up to visit Jesus. And so I've been thinking about these characters, think about this cast of characters, and I actually went and looked at our nativity set, which belonged to my husband's grandmother, to his grandmother. And so I was looking at all the characters, and I looked at our wise men, and I noticed something about them. Something about the way that the magi, or the wise men, are depicted in just about every piece of art I've ever seen. And so I did a little searching, and I want to show you some pictures here. So have you seen anything something like this, right? Mary, Joseph, baby, three wise men, right? They've got gifts with them, some are kneeling. Let's look at this next one. Here's another group of wise men. And I thought, just to have a little fun, here's some cartoon versions of them. And this was one that I think this is next. This is a pretty exciting one. The Playmobil version of the wise men. Right? You're seeing they got their camel, but if you're looking at the three wise men, and here they are in film, are you starting to notice anything about them? Something about, and here's one, we'll leave it at this one. So we again have Mary, Joseph, and the baby. You can tell those are the ones on the left. They have a light halo around them, representing their divinity. But what have you noticed in all of these pictures of the wise men, or the magi? Anybody notice anything that we don't often, what's that?
Beards.
They do have beards. Like ZZ Top, that's true. But one of the things that I kept noticing, and look at this, in almost any depiction of the Magi, is that you have different races. Anybody ever notice that? Go back and just look real quick. Are my people here? Different races? Different races? Different races? Different races? Different races. And so as I was kind of looking through this, I thought, okay, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be something to this. And we talk about the Magi and the wise men as being people from the east, but that's as far as we know. They could be, you know, just east of Jerusalem. That could be Lebanon, that could be Persia, that could be, you know, they could be Afghani, they could be Indian, they could be Chinese. We don't know. They're just east of Bethlehem. That's all we know of them. But I love that in our depictions, in our artwork, in our stories of these Magi, we see them as all different races. We see them specifically as looking different than the Holy Family. And what I love about this is that in this gospel writing where it says they came from the east, what the gospel writers are pointing out and what our artwork is pointing out is that these Magi, these wise men, these people who sought Jesus, they came and they weren't Jews who were brought there for the census. They were outsiders. They were different. Some theologians even think that they might have been Zoroastrian, people studying the stars coming from modern-day Iran. They were the others, and it's reflected in our artwork. Now, I know a lot of our images of Jesus living in America tend to have him looking very Caucasian, light hair, blue eyes. But it's been interesting is we know that Jesus was a first century Palestinian Jew. So we probably didn't look like my Norwegian ancestors. He probably looked a little something more like this, which I always thought is kind of interesting. So if we go back to this picture of the Magi, what I love is the three kings over here, these three wise men. We have somebody who looks like Caucasian or European. We have somebody with darker skin who's probably possibly African. And then we have somebody in the middle who has sort of Middle Eastern or Persian or Arab features. And I think that's probably what Jesus kind of looked like. And why I love this about this story as I started to unpack all the artwork that we have about this is if we think about it, artwork that depicts these Magi has these people of all of these different races. And for a moment, stick with me here. So here's kind of a map of a cross section here. That big star is over Israel. It's over Bethlehem. It's over Jerusalem. It's over where the Jews were, right? And so if you have somebody very fair-skinned looking European and somebody very dark-skinned looking African, you essentially have people coming from all ends of the earth and converging onto the Christ child. And here I just thought they were trying to get some different cultural representation in the artwork. But doesn't that change things a little bit? When we think of the Magi, not just as these group of folks who are coming from somewhere, but when we see them depicted in all these different races, all these different cultures, and they show up, right? Because the very first visitors to Mary and Joseph weren't these wise men, but they were shepherds. They were Jewish shepherds outside of Bethlehem. They were probably awaiting the Messiah. Jesus shows up first to the Jews, to those shepherds who are watching their flocks by night. And then, on that 12th day, on that Epiphany day, then Jesus shows up to the rest of the world. So all of a sudden, this story of the Messiah who the Jews had waited for millennia gets a little bit different. This was not your average Messiah read about in the Torah. But instead, we get the Messiah who John writes about. It says all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. In him was life, and the light was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. I don't think it's just happenstance that these wise men, these Magi, followed a light, followed a star through days and weeks to find the Christ child. Because that word epiphany, it means to show. It means to show up or show off. So that star that night was shown to the Magi when they were far off in the world. And they showed up to the manger. But most importantly, on that epiphany. That epiphany was that Jesus made himself known to the world. He made himself known to all people. He was not just a Messiah for the Jews right there in Bethlehem, but he was a Messiah and a Savior for the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And now we live really far away from that Bethlehem. We are now those torchbearers. We are the Epiphany people. We are the ones called to show up and show the light of Christ into this world. And so in this new year, good people, in those places of darkness, how will you do that? Because that's what we do. We don't bring people in, we bring Christ out. We are evangelical Christians, the evangelical Lutheran church in America. Evangelical, you know what that means? It means you share the good news. That's all that means, is you bring Christ out. We are good news bearers, and we shine the light of Christ in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome us. It doesn't mean that we are perfect. It doesn't mean that we show up this morning at this church without hurt or exhaustion or sickness or even a little brokenness. But what it means to be people of Epiphany, it means that even in all of that, we continue to do what the Magi did. To bring our gifts to the King and then go out and share his love to all the world. Amen, Epiphany people.